heard with the reverence that it deserves. We thank you for this precious document you have made available to share your thoughts with us, your creation that you have made in your image and likeness. Put us on the earth to exercise dominion over it, to cause your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we need help with this word. We know it contains your infinite wisdom compressed into this written word. So please come and help us. Anoint me afresh. Help me to speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me. Those who are here right now, those who will hear me later on electronically. That the word will have free course from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Ghost be released in sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word. My Father, that I might do it with precision, redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, indeed things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all is in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their life individually, said,
amen.
Today I have a very important message, like I hinted during the Bible study. It's about the life of Joseph. And I've entitled it, Joseph Had No Bible. A man of God called Leonard Ravenhill wrote a book many years ago called Sodom Had No Bible. I read it very early in my Christian life. It had a great impact on my life. And today I bring a word which I call Joseph Had No Bible. Joseph's life is exemplary and is a model for all, both young and old. I will bring this out. Recently I've had the privilege to speak at one or two birthdays of different people, and this has been a recurring decimal. And the Lord now began to blow it up in my heart and said I should share it as a message. Look at Romans. Let me start with Romans 15 verse 4, which is in the New Testament, and gives us the basis for using all these Old Testament types and shadows for us to learn from. You must understand, very important, that at the time Paul wrote this, the only Bible they had was the Old Testament. So he wasn't talking about New Testament scriptures, which were just being written. So he says, for whatsoever things, I didn't hear you. For a few of the things, for some of the things, for the ones that you like, the whole New Testament, Old Testament. I don't understand these so-called born-again Christians who say the Old Testament is not important. It is you that is not important. What a word. I don't know where that came from. The Holy Ghost. It's you that's not important. You don't understand. The Old Testament isn't just a bunch of stories and... it's a prophetic word that has application to your life today. In fact, the secrets of your life are hidden there. For you to neglect the Old Testament is for you to neglect your destiny. It's also in the New Testament. New Testament is the foundation. But there is a lot hidden in the types and the stories and the shadows of the Old Testament, that it's until you shine the New Testament light on the Old Testament scriptures, you now begin to see how it applies to you. And then no part of it is left out. In Timothy, he says all scripture. Here he says whatsoever. Same Paul. All, whatsoever, everything. This is not a syllabus you can palm. You have to read the whole book. I thank God I came to that knowledge some years ago. You know, this one, I don't read this one. You have to read the whole Bible, including Ecclesiastes. Everything. And Leviticus, the one you don't like. I never liked Leviticus. But now, I treasure Leviticus. All the things about prayer is there. All those animal sacrifices, there's a spiritual equivalent. For whatsoever things, I didn't hear you, were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Let me paraphrase that. Bible says that all things are written in the Old Testament were written for us so we can learn from them. And through, when we seek the patience and the comfort, how God helped the people, then we can take comfort from that, and then will give us hope. So you see, when you see what God did in the life of this person, in spite of the person's mistakes, then you know that the same God that had patience with him will have patience with you. I don't want to get off. Look at someone like Abraham, for example. Abraham was a great guy, but he had made a lot of mistakes. Abraham messed up big time. Big time. But God had mercy on him. God will have mercy on you. I want to talk about Joseph today. Joseph had no Bible. Joseph is an example, a model, that all of us can and should model our whole lives after. Because, you know, I told you I was speaking in the context of birthdays and destinies. Before I go to Joseph, I want to first of all use Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ as models, you know, and then I'm going to now use Joseph finally, and we're going to learn a lot of things from his life. Moses' life is a model of what the life of every Christian should be. His life is divided into three sections of 40 years each. This was unique to Moses. The same principles apply to us, but of course, Aaron doesn't have to be 40 years each. You know, we'll come to that in a minute. The first 40 years of Moses were used, I call them the years of preparation. I'm going to say preparation. All Moses did in that time was to get a secular education. He, by divine arrangement, was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. God planted him in the most sophisticated, the most advanced place of learning of that time. We are told that Moses was mighty in word and in deed. He had a first-class education, and he was a very, very successful person in the natural. He said he was mighty in words and in deeds. Secular history tells us, if you watch the Ten Commandments, they had the books of the pharaohs and all of that, that Moses was a great architect, built some of the pyramids, did a lot of design. He was a very brilliant chap, you know. But you know, those 40 years were only years of preparation. The plan of God for his life hadn't even started. Many people live and die on preparation. They go to school, they get a good degree, they make money, they build a house, they do this, and they think that they have achieved. You haven't even started. Because all of that is foundational. It's all preparatory. The second half of Moses' life was a life of revelation. I would say revelation. It was during those 40 years, it was actually the tail end of it in his case, you know, that he now came to understand and know the God of his fathers. He didn't know God. He had an idea, but he didn't really know God. You know, until God appeared to him in the burning bush at the age of 80. It was in the place of revelation that he came to know his purpose. I've said this before, it bears repetition. Had Moses died at 80, we would never have known him. He would have been thrown in the dustbin of history, like so many people who lived at his time. There are a lot of people who lived in that time, you don't know them, you can't know them. They're just there. So everyone say revelation. Moses did at the tail end, but thank God he got it. The last 40 years were the years of manifestation. Everybody say manifestation. So everybody say preparation, revelation, manifestation. Say it again. Preparation, revelation, manifestation. Dearly beloved, for you to fulfill the purpose of God for your life, you must go beyond preparation. You must go beyond revelation into manifestation. It is sad. It's a sad commentary of human life that a great number of men only live and die only in preparation. Some enter revelation to a small degree and die. Few enter into manifestation. It's not the will of God. One of the most sobering statements I have ever heard was the one the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was a very successful pastor, an evangelist. Well, really wasn't an evangelist, but he did a lot of evangelical work. Kenneth Hagin was born again when he was about 17 years old. In 1917, he was born in 1917. He was born again in 1934. Got filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking tongues, had the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, miracles in his ministry. He himself was a miracle. God cured of an incurable blood disease and a deformed heart, you know, and did great work for God. It's been going on. This is 34. He was 42 years old in 1959. That's the same year I was born, incidentally. And he had an accident in his car. And his hand was fractured. So he had to be in hospital. So they put a plaster of Paris, you know, on his hand, and he was in the hospital. It's very interesting. Jesus believes in hospitals. You know why? He went there. You know, may God help the church. We go into all kinds of extremes. Don't use medicine. That's not faith. That's stupidity. Another message for another day. Anyway, only one doctor said thank you. At least the doctors appreciate the Lord. Amen. So, Jesus goes to Kenneth Hagin. And he says to him, this is not my will. You're here because you got out of my perfect will into my permissive will. He said, and I allowed this thing to happen to you to catch your attention. He said, because if you had continued the way you were going, and don't ask me what Ken Hagin did. He was not with women, he wasn't stealing church money, all the kind of things that we would think would cause a very serious, it wasn't anything like that. He only puts the teaching ministry above the prophetic ministry. Can you imagine? If it wasn't Jesus who taught him, we how many of us even knew the difference between teaching ministry? We don't even know the difference between teaching and prophetic ministry. Shows you how ignorant we are. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on the church. And these things I'm saying are still unknown to 90%, correction, 99% of the church. Even those who have read Kenneth Hagin, they just read it, it doesn't even strike them. All they're excited about is the vision and the healing. And Jesus said to him, he said, you got out of my perfect will into my permissive will because you put your teaching ministry above your prophetic ministry because it was more popular with men. And there was a great need for teaching. And teaching ministry was not wrong. But he shied away from the prophetic because people don't like the prophetic. You know, next thing came out of his lips. He said, and if you are continuing, like he said, you would have died at the age of 55. He was only 42. So that was still 13 years down the road. See how quickly God had to correct him. If you take the trajectory of your life, when you just make one small mistake like this, by the time you extend that thing 10 years, it leads to destruction. And yeah, we will be going along it because nothing seems to be happening. Ah! He told him, he said he was 42. He said, if you had come, he said, by the age of 55, watch this, you would have died and you would never have entered the first phase of your ministry. He was still in the stage of revelation. We would never have known who Kenneth Hagin was. He would have just died. He would not have written any books. They would not, all we are talking now, they would never have happened. The question I want to ask to provoke the thinking of thinking men, may you be a thinking person. Amen. You say, how many people has that happened to that we don't even know? Shall I stretch that question? The Holy Ghost just spoke to me. He said, how many people is that happening to now that don't even know? Hence this message. Some people, they're already off track, and they're already moving off track to a place of, and they don't even realize it. If Kenneth Hagin was to look around and look in the natural, there was nothing wrong in what he was doing. He was preaching, people were getting born again, people were getting, he was getting word of knowledge. He was doing this, he was doing that, yet he was out of the will of God and didn't know it. Correction, out of the perfect will of God. So it is today. In one of the greatest lessons, also, when I was a young, immediately I learned that thing. I said, God, have mercy on me. Yes, so I started praying seriously in the spirit that I will stay smack in the perfect will of God, not the permissive one. And this message I'm preaching now, if you model your life after Joseph, you will be able to position yourself into the perfect will of God. By the time I finish, you will see. So, Moses had the years of preparation, the years of revelation, and the years of manifestation. The Lord Jesus, the same thing. But his own were not in 40 years batches. It was in smaller batches. The years of preparation for Jesus would be 12 to 30. The Bible says, I must be about my Father's business. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus multiplexed revelation and preparation. So as he was preparing, he was also getting revelation. And that is what many of us need to learn now. You don't have to, first of all, do preparation and then spend another 40 years getting revelation. You can get preparation and revelation simultaneously so that you will have more years for manifestation and to enjoy the work of your hand. I didn't read this in a book. It's a revelation. I've never heard anybody preach this. You don't have to, you know, and that's the problem. People just, they don't even know about these things. They don't even care about these things. So, the Lord Jesus, between 12 and 30, the word multiplex means to mix together. He did preparation and revelation together. From 12, you already knew who he was. I must be about my Father. So he already started revelation. And at the same time, he was doing preparation. All those years, he was a carpenter. He had a very good business, trust me. Amen? Smart guy. You know? Then when he got to 30 years old, he now received the Spirit without measure. And then he now had three and a half years of manifestation, fulfilled his purpose, died for us, and went to heaven. Now, the Lord Jesus gives us a model, the same model like Moses, but now we see that we don't have to separate the time of preparation from the time of revelation. And hence this message. Joseph does exactly the same thing that Jesus did, But I use Joseph as a very important model and type because everybody can learn from the life of Joseph. The young people particularly, and this is actually directed more towards, but it's for all of us. As you're living your life, you have to plan your life. Don't just live carelessly, not knowing where you are going and what you're doing. Joseph, his years of preparation and revelation were from 17 to 30. He was 17-year-old boy. His dad gave him a coat of many colors. Then began to have dreams, revelation. But he didn't understand it all, you know. And then he was sold into Egypt, you know, and the house of Potiphar. Then he went to jail, you know, and we know the story. It was not until he was 30 years old that he now stood before Pharaoh. That was the beginning of man. It wasn't the fullness of his manifestation. It was the beginning of it. He still had 14 years for the full manifestation of what God had shown him to come to pass. He showed him that there were going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So by 37, he had gone through the 7 years of plenty. But anybody can say anything. It could have been 7 years of plenty. It was when the 7 years of famine began that they knew that what he said was true. Are you listening to me? Yes, sir. So, 37, 38, 39. It was at 39 his brothers came. And his brothers came to buy food. They came to buy corn in Egypt. Immediately they came, Joseph recognized them. They didn't recognize him. Then they bowed before him, then they remembered his dream. 39. Look at the time. Years. We know the story. He later revealed himself to them after really considering whether to deal with them or not. But thank God, that's what I was preaching earlier on, God had dealt with his heart. That was why the extra 2 years were necessary. He put them in the jail for 3 days. Why 3 days? Why not 5 minutes? Okay, let him just spend one night. Bring him. He was really considering. Deep now, boys. But God said. So anyway, he reveals himself. You know, they go the second time, come back. Then he reveals himself to his brothers and said, "Go and bring my daddy. Go and bring everybody." So they now brought all of them, you know, and then, you know, so by, it was not until he was 44 that the 7 years of famine had come. Everything Joseph said had come to pass. He had fulfilled his purpose. By 44, Joseph was done. Everything from 44 to 70 was just Job 36:11. You will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. How many people want that? Because he understood the purpose of God and fulfilled it. By 44, everything was... So all those other years, he was just, you know, with his brothers in Egypt and his daddy and just looking after them. And they were just, you know... Now, this is a model for you. Young people especially, get your act together. Your time of education, while you're in school, and you should also use that as a time of revelation. That's why you're in a church like this. And you're listening to these kind of messages. So that you are doing, instead of doing them, you know, in series, do them in parallel. So you don't finish one and then start another one. No! Start as you're doing preparation, you're also doing revelation. Hallelujah. You know what you're doing? You're redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Don't waste your time. I've said it on this pulpit, and I'm going to keep saying it. Sin is a waste of time. Forget about the fun. It's not really fun. It's not even fun. It's fun for the fool. Who says there is no God? If you know that there is God, even when you are trying to see, even by that, you even always are thinking of what this God would do to you. It stops the fun. When you begin to say, God, no. You know, it's the truth. It's God who don't put God in their heart. You put God in your heart. Bible. When you look at it, you just remember. The Bible says that by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I'm going to come back to Joseph in a minute. So, we do the time of preparation, the time of revelation, and we can do it in parallel rather than in series. In other words, we don't do it one after the other. You can do it at the same time. God, this is a prophetic word. God is looking for men and women, young and old, who will be like Joseph, who will dedicate their lives to knowing him and spend the years of preparation simultaneously with the years of preparation. So it's not unlike Moses, who has to wait until 80. You don't have to wait until 80. Now, if you're 80 and above, it's still okay too. You know, what you now do is make sure you come to revelation so that you know the purpose of God for your life so that you can fulfill it. Nobody is too young and nobody is too old. I have two scriptures, one for the young and one for the old. Let's give the young one first. Look at Psalm 110 verse 3. This is a message of destiny. Joseph had no Bible. You know why? You know what? It means you have no excuse. If Joseph could make it, you should double make it. Hello, somebody. Because Psalm 110 verse 3. Give this to me in the Amplified Bible. This is the prophetic word about the end time and the manifestation of sons of God and all that. But I don't want to go into all of that. Say, your people. How many people are God's people here? Good. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power. I've shared this before, but it bears repetition. The power will make you willing inside your heart. And then the power you see will also motivate you to be willing. Are you listening to me? That's why that power will be used both internally and externally. You see, when people see the glory of God, people will volunteer. And at the same time, God is working in their hearts. So your people shall be willing. I didn't hear you. In the day of your power. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the day of the power. This is the day of the release of the Spirit without measure. This is the day of power. And I am willing. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm even more than willing. Hallelujah. Amen. Let your life count for something. Dare to do something great for God. Stop, you know, wasting your time. So many young people just going around wasting the years. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness, in the holy array, out of the womb of the morning, to you will spring forth your what? Young men and women. Is gender friendly. You have to be correct these days, you know. Who are as the dew. So this is for the young people. Today, let today mark the beginning of the rest of your life. Because that's exactly what it is. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And say, God, I'm going to be like Joseph. I'm going to let my life count. As I'm preparing, as I'm studying, as I'm in school, or as I have a job, at the same time, I'm going to be getting revelation. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to spend time in your word. I want to know you. I want to know the purpose for my life. And I don't just want superficial knowledge. I want to know you properly. Make that decision. If you are old, the same thing. You know, God showed me, he said, if Moses could start at 80, anybody can manifest the glory of God. doesn't matter how old you are. That's why what Pastor Ibrahim preached on Wednesday is so relevant. Amen? Even if, let's imagine someone is even 120 years old today and hearing this message. Amen? He needs 20 years of preparation. Do you understand? And then the rest, manifestation. So of the 120 to 240, he has just started. 140, his strength is renewed like the eagles. His natural strength is not abated. His eye is not dim. You see him, you think he's 60. Or even 40. Unless he tells you he is 140, you will not believe. Are you listening to me? And with that kind of thing, he can go on. If he wants, he can go on for another 20 years. 216. There is nothing against it in the books.
Amen.
The only thing that against is our mentality. And that is why God wants to pull down that stronghold today. I said it on Wednesday, I want to say, get that message Pastor Ibrahim preached. All the 70 and 80 is for the disobedient people in the wilderness. They didn't say amen. Huh? I said 70 to 80 was for the disobedient people in the wilderness. Go and check the saints. I shared this on Wednesday after Pastor Ibrahim had shared. I just ministered this just briefly. I'll mention it now because it bears relevance. Go and check the Bible. You will find that from the fall of Adam, do you understand? Adam, it took Adam almost 1,000 years to die. You know why? He didn't know how to die. Thank you, Pastor G. Nobody had died. He all he had in him was life. God breathed into him the breath of life. His body was eternal. It took 1,000 years, for almost 900 and something years, for all that system to start winding down. It was not this. You were not designed to die. That is why death is an enemy. The doctors will tell you. Do you understand? God, your body is designed to heal itself.
Yes, sir.
All the cells in your body change after every 7 years. What happens when they don't understand up till when I am talking to you is that an error begins to happen in your DNA. Then over the years, the error accumulates. As it accumulates, then the skin starts dragging. And then this world starts happening. And then you're not as strong as you used to be. Nobody knows why, but it happens. And they say, well, it's part of the aging process. It is because there is an error. If that error is corrected by the life of God, it will not happen. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. That error can be reversed.
Amen.
Correction, that error will be reversed.
Amen.
There is going to be a bunch of people on the earth that are going to demonstrate the glory of God.
Amen.
And as they grow older, they will get younger.
Amen.
Did not the scripture say his youth is renewed like the eagles? Did the scripture not say, as the days of my people, so shall be their health?
Yes.
The Bible says so. The question is, whose report will you believe?
Come on now.
That's not the question. But the scriptures are clear. You know what happened? When death, spiritual death, you see, God said, Adam and Eve, the day you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good, you will die. But they didn't die that day. But they died. They died spiritually. The effect of that spiritual death took 1,000 years to now manifest as physical death. The next generation that came, it took 800 years. The next one that came, it took 700 years. The next one that came, it took 500 years. There was an exponential decrease. So as the sin nature increased, are you listening to me? The length of longevity decreased. But you know what God is going to do? He's going to reverse it. As the righteous, as you get into perfection and the sin nature is cleansed out, the longevity will go back up. If I sin, I will live 100 years. And that's a sinner. What would the righteous do? Hold on, I believe it. Oh. Thank God. I believe. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Lord, I believe. Stronghold. It's been there for thousands of years. That's why the Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men. This is part of what God has prepared for them that love Him. Amen. It's available. Amen. And there will be people who will demonstrate it. Amen. Oh, we're going to see it. Amen. So, you know, the whole system begins to work the way God wanted it to work. Doesn't mean we won't die. But you're not dying anyhow. You die when you and God decide you want to die. And who said you have to be sick to die? All these are strongholds. You don't have to be sick to die. Amen. No. No. You can die healthy. Pastor Ibrahim told us on Wednesday that Moses gave them the whole of Deuteronomy in one day. He dictated it to them. Then after, can you imagine? You know, his brain was so sharp. The whole of Deuteronomy, he dictated it with oral tradition. Then they were writing it down. Then after he finished, he now went up to the mountain and died. Give the Lord a clap offering. He climbed the mountain to go and die. Wow! He climbed the mountain. Nobody knows where they buried Moses. You know why? God buried him. Caution. They buried Moses. Doesn't have a sepulchre. Nobody went with him. He just went with God. Then when he got there, he said, God, I'm ready to check. They checked and then God put his body somewhere that is known to only him and God. Until we start preaching these kind of things and break the mentality now. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Break it. Break it. You will live and you will not die. Amen. And if Jesus, if you want to go before Jesus comes, go in style. Go like E.W. Kenyon. That's the way to go. 87 years old. Had breakfast. Called his wife and his daughter. I'm going home today. They were afraid. They thought, maybe it's old age. But this man's mind was as sharp as anything. He had one daughter, Ruth Kenyon. Gave her instructions about his books, all things that they were going to do. Told them everything he wanted them to do. He had his breakfast. Then he got on his rocking chair. And then he started rocking. It's good to rock. Spoke in tongues. Then he told his daughter, his wife. They were there in the sitting room with him. He was rocking on his chair. Then he said, I told you I'm going home today. There's Jesus. Jesus was right there. He spoke in tongues. Checked. Go that way. These are examples. These are written. They're so that it can inspire us. And these are people, they don't have two heads. They're just like you and I. Am I talking? Men of like passions. Thank you. So, Joseph is a wonderful example. So, start, don't wait. No matter how old or young you are, once you hear this kind of message, start preparation. If you have done all your preparation, maybe you've done all the things you want to do in your life as far as your career and business and all that is concerned. Revelation. Start praying in the Spirit, reading the Word, you know, listening to prophetic messages, so that you can get a clear picture of what God wants you to do. Then from there you move into manifestation. The good news is this. Like we see in the case of Jesus, you know, you can do the revelation and preparation at the same time. Manifestation, you know, you can get the main job done in a very few years, and then the rest of the time you're just here to help other people. You've done your own. Moses, Joseph was finished at 44. Everything he just did was for his brothers and his daddy and Egypt, and just to bless them and all of that. He had fulfilled everything God said about him had been fulfilled. He had had his dream. The dreams had come to pass. He had saved the whole world. That was his destiny. And guess what is part of yours? He said, you people thought that you were doing me evil. He said, you did me good. He said, God sent me ahead of you to save a whole generation. And he did it. He was done by 44. Lord, have mercy. Kule. I got something else to add that will even push the thing in the Old Testament. No Bible. With no Bible. Joseph had no Bible. What should you do with a full Bible? To whom much is given, much is required. Pastor Andrew put his head on his hand. I was watching him. That's a good reaction. You know why? He says, oh, wretched man that I am. No, that's the essence of these kind of messages. To wake us up. What are we doing? To whom much is given, much is... God gave you a whole Bible. And Joseph as an example. He says, now outdo him. Why is it happening? Because we nobody preaches this kind of things to us. Nobody tells us about this kind of thing. It was just in the last few years I started hearing messages on destiny. You don't hear messages. You know how many places you go and hear on destiny? Oh, we all want to get blessed and go to heaven. I said this a few Sundays ago. I'm going to repeat it. All of Joseph's brothers went to heaven. Judah went to heaven. Reuben went to heaven. They all went to heaven. Joseph saved all of them. But can you compare the glory of Joseph to the glory of his brothers? Think about it very, very carefully. If Christianity is just to get born again, then be like Reuben. Oh, like Pastor Wally just said, be like Lot. Wasn't Lot saved? He was saved. The Bible called him a righteous man. He made heaven. If Christianity, yes. Be like Issachar or Asher or Gad or even Manasseh with all his rubbish and nonsense. May God help us to aspire to higher ground. And not be satisfied with Zohar, the mediocre. Mediocrity has been preached for so long we think is normal. Joseph had no Bible. I got to close. I get a scripture for the young. Let me give a scripture for the old. Acts 2:17. Remember? It says the old men shall dream dreams. So you can get revelation in old age. If you didn't get it when you were young, when you are old, it's never too late. And it shall come to pass. I didn't hear you. In the last days, say in the last days. Don't go to Bazaar in the last days. Saith God, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, say the Bible is gender friendly, shall prophesy. That's boy and girl. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In other words, revelation is for everybody. Complete spectrum of human existence, young and old, male and female. Nobody's left out. It's available to everybody. Is this clear?
Yes, sir.
Now, how did Joseph do this? I'm going to share from three scriptures. God will have mercy on me and help me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. You see, what everything Joseph did, he did it by the Spirit. In the Old Testament, of course. You know, using the Word of God. He didn't. And the Word of God he knew, that's why he had no Bible, you know, because the Bible had not been written, was the Word of God he heard from his fathers. Now, look at this scripture, I'll show you how it happened. Look at Deuteronomy 6. This is Moses dictating it, so that they could write it down, finally, at the end of Moses' life. But this was what Abraham and others have been doing right from the Garden of Eden. Adam told his sons what happened. They told their sons. They told their sons. They told their sons. Watch. He says, and thou shalt teach them what? Diligently unto who? Thy children. That's how they got it. And thou shalt talk of them when you do what? Sit in your house. When you what? Walk by the way. I didn't hear you. When you lie down and when you rise up. That's 4 times every 6 hours. That's where we got it from. We didn't invent it. It's not Pastor Olivia's doctrine. Hello? It's right there. This is what Joseph was doing in Egypt. How could a young boy have survived that? He kept it in his mouth and in his heart. He didn't stray. So looking at the bad examples we looked at earlier in the morning during the Bible, so look at Asa, look at Uzziah, they stopped it in their mouth and in their heart. That's how their heart strayed. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the forces of life. Put away from thee a froward man, and perverse lips put far from thee. Perverse doesn't just mean using bad language, it means not using God's language. He's not just using curse words. He's not using God's language. When you're just talking idle words, they are perverse. Because they are not functional in the spirit. Are you listening to me? Joseph. This is what he did. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. Hello somebody. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I talking to anybody here? Children. Learn this lesson. Life for children. All children here. Be like Joseph. Joseph started at 17. Say, hey, that's too old. Jesus started at 12. You can start at the same time. I was talking to some young men. And I was counseling them and preaching and teaching them. And I said, we can plan your life now. Easy. Your late teens, early 20s, plan. The next 20 years, like Joseph, by the time you're in your late 30s and your early 40s, you should have done perfection, entered full inheritance. Why not? Your years of preparation and revelation, you multiplex them. You put them together. Your first 20 years, between 20 and 40. By 40, you're done. Then anything you want to do, you can do it after. You want to do whatever, business, whatever. And you do it with spirit of excellence. Serve for 5, 10 years. Then after that, just go and do mission work. Go anywhere in the world. You'll be so rich. You'll be a trillionaire. I didn't say Pilonia. Have your own plane. Have anything. You can wake up today and say, I'm going to Afghanistan today. Nobody can stop you. You got a stealth. Just go under it. It's a sign like something, but it's the truth. The only barrier between what I've just said and reality is money. That's why I say money answers all. This is the good part of money. Do you understand? The only barrier between what I've just said now. You can wake up this afternoon and say, I'm going to preach in Afghanistan tonight. And you will be there. If you have the money. See, the government won't let you in. They haven't seen money yet. For you shall lend unto nations. You put enough money down, the door will open. That's what the money is for. He gave us power to get wealth that we may establish his covenant upon the earth. Get your destiny. So you're going to use, just like Joseph, you could use your life to bless people. Preach the gospel all over the world. Anywhere, every village, nook and cranny and corner God tells you to go to, you can go. No restraints. No constrictions. What a life. It's a great life. That's what young men should do. When I was a young man, and I'm not old, I said that jokingly, you know, in my early 20s, and I got to know God and know all of these things, I made up my mind. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it properly. I didn't like some of the things I saw around. I said, I'm not going to do it like that. I'm going to do it properly. And by the mercy and the grace of God, I'm not fully there yet. But God has had mercy on me and he's helped me. And I am, by his grace, doing it properly. And I'm not through yet. The rest of my life, you know, my wife and I, the rest of our lives, our children are getting married after a while, the others get settled down and, you know, do all the things, you know. It's the rest of my life is for missions. What else am I doing? Preach the gospel anywhere God tells me to go. And as God blesses us with more finances, there will be both with the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the finances of God, there will be no gates that will not open. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and ye everlasting doors, be lifted up, for the Lord of glory will come in. The only restriction is anointing, wisdom, and money. One say, oh, they don't believe it. They will believe. Ask Pharaoh. When the power of God is in manifestation, are you listening to me? No matter how wicked, no matter how oppressive, even if they are like Pharaoh, like Nebuchadnezzar, God will break them. We're not talking pie in the sky. It's reality. Break the nations with a rod of iron and dash them like a potter, like a piece of a potter. He says, and kiss the sun. The word kiss there doesn't mean kiss. It means show him affection. Lest he be angry and you perish from the way. They will be currying our favor. Everybody's going to be afraid of the church. He says, they shall see that thou art named by the name of, and they shall be afraid of you. What a word. I ain't through yet. Verse 14, Deuteronomy 30. We're going to close very soon. This is what Joseph did. This is what he had to have done. This is what he did. But the word is what? Is what? Very nigh unto thee, in thy and in thy, that thou mayest. That's how Joseph did it, without a Bible. That's how he did it. He kept it. Remember, we're going to get there in a minute. Don't let me get ahead of myself. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. This 2026, this is my last portion of scripture, and I'll close on this by the grace of God. You see, of course, this was written by Solomon many, many years later, but this was what Joseph did. From what he had heard from his fathers, he heard it from Jacob. Jacob heard it from Isaac. Isaac heard it from Abraham. Abraham heard it from Noah. They had, down through the generations, they knew Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews. You know, Abraham was like the first one who was called a Hebrew, you know, but the covenant-keeping God from Enoch right down the line. So they, all the people, the righteous, they always told their children what it took. Excuse me. You know, it took putting the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. So the obedient ones among them, 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 copied the fathers and got the result. The disobedient ones ignored it. That's what difference between Joseph and his brothers. The difference between David and his brothers. Same father, same house, same household, same word, same upbringing. Just like today, same church, same scripture pastor. May you be obedient in Jesus' name. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse 21. Bind them occasionally. Bind them on Sundays upon your heart. Bind them at Easter and Christmas. Can you see our problem? I've got this book is a scientific book. If you don't do it the way it says you should do, you won't get the answer. Bind them what? Upon your heart and tie them about your neck. Of course, that is figurative. You know, you don't go about tying the Bible on your neck. You know, it's not literal. That's figurative. But, you know, continue upon your heart. Just means pay close attention. Let it control your heart. Next verse. When thou goest, eat. Don't you never say, eat what? The word. When thou goest, eat. Shall do what? When thou sleepest, eat. Shall do what? When thou awakest, eat. Shall do what? Joseph had no Bible. That was how he was doing it. The word he had in his mouth and his heart, it was leading him, it was keeping him, and it was talking to him. Next verse. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the what? Next verse. To keep thee from thee. See how Joseph survived Potiphar's wife. And from the flattery of the strong of a strange woman. Satan planted Potiphar's wife to abort Joseph's destiny. But Joseph had the weapon, the spiritual weapon, to overcome Potiphar's wife. Joseph was a very handsome young man. And to show you that Joseph was flesh and blood, he married an Egyptian girl later. And they had children. So there was nothing wrong with him. Am I down low? They think he was just one super saint. No, he wasn't. Just like you and I. Men of like passion. You know what he did? He used the word. The Bible says, it shall keep thee. It will lead thee. It will talk with thee. So when that woman was dragged, and it wasn't a one day affair.
Don't think it just will be reading one verse.
No. The Bible says she was doing it every day. She would come to him and talk to him. You know, the Bible says Joseph would walk away. He won't stay here. He won't stay in the same room with her. I want to share this with all the young people. You know, not only the young and the old too. I'm married. I've been married for many years, you know. But it applies to all of us. Do you understand? Never stay alone in a room with a woman who is not your wife. End of story, you will not fall into adultery. It's a very simple law. I have kept it all these years and God has had mercy on me. You know who I learned it from? Billy Graham and Gordon Lindsay. I was reading their book. Billy Graham said all his life he has never stayed in the room except his daughter or his wife. He's never stayed in a room alone with any other woman who is not a wife or the daughters. He said, if you just keep that simple law, after all, you cannot fornicate on the road. That's what saved Joseph. The Bible says he would not be with her. She'll come to this room when he's working. She's not talking to him, you know. The flattery of the strong of a strange woman. But the word that was in heart would talk to him. He says he kept it in his heart. So he says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. So he says, don't mind this woman. No. She wants to finish you. That God, the Holy Ghost, was talking to him all the time. When she finally pushed him into a corner one day and tried to force him, you know, he said, how can I do this and sin against God? That word was still talking in his heart. He didn't see a beautiful woman. He saw God. What are you seeing? Let's ask the question, what is in your heart? That's what saved this boy. Joseph had no Bible. Next verse. Oh Lord, have mercy. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take. Don't concentrate on this. Concentrate on the top. Keep it in your heart. It shall lead thee. It shall keep thee. That's what's going to save you from all of this. You see all the other people who this thing is affecting, they are not doing that top part. Neither let her take thee with her eyelid. All this. I just came to say hi. After all, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you don't have to. The devil wants to finish you. Next verse, verse 26. For by means a man is brought to a piece of bread. Watch this. And the adulterers will hunt for the precious life. Do you know what hunt? Do you know how to hunt for something? If you see lions when they are hunting, they don't attack immediately. They stalk. They follow the prey, sometimes hours, sometimes days. And sometimes the animals, maybe the zebras or whatever they're going to kill, are not aware the lions are there. They don't know they are watching them. They watch, they stalk. That's what the devil does with outlandish women. Be watching you. Then he will stalk you. That's what he was doing for Joseph. It says, and her eyes fell on Joseph. Go and check it. It's in the Bible. It says, and he was a goodly man. And she planned. And she stalked. But the word kept Joseph. When she finally, you know, he said, I cannot sin against God. He didn't even talk about Potiphar. He mentioned Potiphar. He said, you know, he has he's given me this whole house, except you, because you are his wife. You know, I said, how can I do this great evil and sin? God was what was in his mind. God was what was in his eyes. And he just took the clothes off and ran away. I heard a man of God preach this many years ago. I've often meditated on it. I got to close. When Joseph became prime minister and came out of jail, Mrs. Potiphar probably was still around. Joseph was now number two to Pharaoh. On the day of his swearing in and inauguration, Potiphar was on the front row with Madame. So Madame's eyes and Joseph's eyes will meet. Joseph will just look and take his eye away. Joseph is a nice boy. He didn't go and tell Potiphar, this is your wife. I said, Pastor, how do you know that? The way he treated his brothers is the same way he would have treated Potiphar's wife. Joseph had no Bible. Look at how he kept himself. It's not because he was an extra special person. It was the Word. The Word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. That's how Joseph did it. Without a Bible. That's how Joseph did it. And that's how you will do it. That's how I will do it. Let's do what Joseph did. A great man by any standards. I got to close with this. After all this has happened, Potiphar now gives Joseph a nice Egyptian girl. Pharaoh, sorry, excuse me. Not as I say Potiphar. Anyway, they are all Egyptians. Who was the daughter of the priest of On is deliberately written. She came from an idolatrous background. Have you ever wondered why she didn't turn Joseph's heart? Like Solomon. What a word. God said to me, don't just read that thing and just go. She was the daughter of the priest of On. Her father was the high priest in the Egyptian religion with all their demons and everything. Joseph was hundreds of miles away from his family. He could easily have been turned to become an idol worshiper. Nobody was watching him. In fact, they could even have, tried to induce him. Joseph had no Bible. When thou keep it shall talk with thee. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou awakest, it will talk with you. It will keep you. That's what kept Joseph. With an unbeliever wife. An Egyptian for that matter. Inside Egypt. I'm not through yet. Not only was he faithful to this princess, he kept her alone. Joseph did not get into polygamy, even though it was the custom during the Old Testament. You know why? He saw what polygamy did to his parents. You know what Jacob said when he came? He said, few and evil have been the days of thy servants. When he was talking to Pharaoh, Joseph did not want what happened to his dad to happen to him. You may not know this, but you need to know. If you read your Bible properly, Joseph hardly knew his mother, Rachel. She died in childbirth when Benjamin was born. He never forgot. So he made up his mind. I will be faithful to the God of Abraham. And I'm not going to be like my daddy Jacob. I'm going to be like my grandfather Isaac. And even though I'm in a strange land with an Egyptian wife, I'm going to treat her just like a Hebrew wife. She didn't change Joseph. Joseph changed her. Let us pray. Let us pray. Selah. Talk to God. Joseph had no Bible. Talk to God. In the Old Testament, you don't have any excuse. Don't come and tell me any rubbish and nonsense. You have no excuse. A better covenant established on better promises. Joseph had no tongues. All he had was the word. And the Holy Ghost helped him. What Joseph had was much more difficult than what you have. You're in a better environment. Pastor Boyga is there. Pastor Kule is there shouting on you every day. Talk to God. Ever let it be that I would love you.
Ever let it be.
Ever let it be.
in a minute.
Tell God, say, God, I'm going to follow Joseph's example. It's been written for my admonition. It's been written for my learning. I'm not going to waste it. What a church we would have if everybody was like Joseph. A glorious church. No spot, blemish, or wrinkle. God's given us a roadmap. A clear roadmap. Just follow Joseph. Follow Jesus. Follow Joseph. Jesus was destined to die young because he was God. You know, just came here temporarily just to do a job and go to heaven. But Joseph tells us what Jesus' life would have been had he stayed. That's why God put the example of Joseph there. Just a person just like you and I. Same like passions. We know Joseph wasn't perfect initially. He had his problems, you know. He was a show off. He showed off his dreams to his brothers, you know. He was struggling with dealing with them, you know. So it was as if, you know. That's why these examples are real and they're practical. Raise that hand. Touch your heart. Oh, God is looking for your heart. God told me, he said, I'm looking for Josephs. And that can be boy or girl. Joseph, Ruth, Esther, same thing. I'm looking for Josephs. I'm looking for people who take me seriously. He said, many of my people, they don't take me seriously. They don't prepare. They're not interested in revelation. They're not interested in knowing my purpose. They don't, you know, they don't keep my word in their hearts as they should, you know. So I'm not able to talk to them. Their mind is full of all other things except me. Say, my son, keep my word. Say, when you go, it will lead you. When you sleep, it will keep you. When you are awake, it will talk with you. The Bible should be doing, the Holy Spirit should be doing that to you in your heart with the word of God. If the thing is not leading you when you are going, if it's not keeping you when you are sleeping, it's not talking to you when you are awake, something is wrong. Now change that. Talk to God. Change that. Change it. Say, Father, I confess our sins. So clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for this word that has come to me about Joseph having no Bible, yet living an exemplary life that pleased you, fulfilled his destiny, saved his generation, and brought glory to you. Even in Egypt, with all their sin, he was a shining light. The darkness did not overcome his light, but he shone in Egypt and the darkness could not comprehend it. Oh my God! Make me a Joseph today. Make me a Joseph in my generation. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, like Joseph, I submit my heart to you. I will keep your word. I will talk of it when I wake up, when I walk by the way, when I sit in my house, when I go to bed at night, so that when I go, it will lead me. When I sleep, it will keep me. When I awake, it will talk with me. What I will see, what I will hear is your word. I will not see the foolishness of this generation, of women, of men, of negative things. When I'm confronted with them, I won't see them. I will see your word. Oh God! Oh God! Have mercy on me. Make me a Joseph today. Lambreka Tosco Frenia, Zofrikitus, Zefri, Lopredela Mashangito, Telamangito Celestre, Zefrikito, Lambreka Tusco Frenenga Kalamatufish. Lombre que matou o meu fresco. Lombre que matou o meu fresco. Tolo meu corpo do fresco. Lombre que matou o meu fresco. Tolo meu corpo do fresco. Lombre que matou o meu 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 fresco. No frene, lombra gamashoko, jega kromatokuma, tulomastu frito fresh, tulomatulomatu fresh, lombra gamatushka fre, lombra gamatushko, ramatu frito kromatu, tulomatulomastu fre, zofre, lobrets, zofrinets, jiki tu frenets, no frenengalas, jele pregeles, zofrinets, tu freningaras, jele prodolos, zofreneles. Ni Katolo, ni Fridi, Zafredeles, no Fridi, Tofrini, Shalafredes, Tolo Mangara, Tufrini, Tolo Mashala, Limbrideles, Tufrideles, in Jesus' name.